Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, is a discerner in thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. John 14:6. Psalm 55:22, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He shall never let the righteous fall. Psalm 55:22. Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man whose trust in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Jeremiah 17:7. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for your care and not for calamity, to give you a future with hope. Jeremiah 29:11. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. You see this verse on the screen before you, and you see it on the back of your bulletin. So I would encourage you, if you cannot see the screen very well from where you're sitting, to look on the back of your bulletin. And there you will see our verses for today, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, verse 2. We've not spent as much time as we wanted to in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, but at least are on our way. And we'll move along on to Romans 5, 2 as we study for the next few moments. Before we begin our study, we bow for just a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're recipients of your grace. Thank you so much that we are your children, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, with the assurance that heaven is our eternal home, not based upon anything we've done, but based totally upon the fact that we receive that magnificent gift, the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. We're thankful for each person in this auditorium today and those who will hear this message by way of the internet. We pray that there will be those who will come to know you as their own personal Lord and Savior as a result of the hearing of your word today. Thank you so much for your matchless grace. Help us to appreciate the fact that we are saved by your grace. We pray that we will advance spiritually on a day-by-day basis. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. When I come to Romans chapter 5, I find that this is a graduation exercise. It takes us from the elementary grades of Christian life into high school. Up to this point, as we looked at various passages of Scripture, we discovered that in the book of Romans, we have an emphasis upon what I call birth truths. Now we have an emphasis upon growth truths. So if you want to write that down, write birth truths and write growth truths. Not too many weeks ago, a fellow came to our church and made the comment, the fact that he wanted to come to a church where he was able to get high school information. So I want you to know that that's where we are. We're giving you high school information. And perhaps a little college. I don't know whether you would want to agree with that or not, but perhaps a little bit of high school and college information. We have an emphasis in our passage of Scripture on the way to maturity and power, and the way that we can be effective believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are graduating from elementary to high school. It's because we see the need of advancing spiritually, of growing in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. There are many believers today who would be classified as weak believers. And because they're weak, because they've never graduated to the high school of the truth of God's Word. When the Apostle Paul was writing to the Corinthian believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he referred to those people as babes. And the Greek word there is napios, which is an interesting Greek word because it means a nursing baby, a baby on the bottle. There are many people who are still babes in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:1. No matter how long they've been Christians, sometimes people have been Christians for 15 or 20 years or even 40 years, and they're still babes in Christ. That's not really good. God wants us to advance and grow up. Now, let me put, first of all, Romans 5:1 on the screen. This is where we've been this morning at the first session. We're not going to reiterate all that we've said, but we're just going to review for a second. Romans 5:1 says, having been justified, therefore, by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord of us, Jesus Christ. This to me is an amazing verse of Scripture because it is so beautiful in the light of what we've seen and what we see in Romans chapter 4. What we have here is an emphasis upon what God has done for us. This is an emphasis upon the fact that we have a life that never ends. How great that is. You're only one breath from eternity. You're only one heartbeat from being with the Lord. We do not know when that heartbeat will be the last one. We do not know when our breath will be the last breath. We do know that our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, has prepared the very wonderful place for us to be. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you will discover that we're told there that there's coming a day when we will be absent from the body and we'll be at home with the Lord. And the reason for that is because we have been justified. I want to reiterate for just a few seconds the fact that the word justification here is not in the present tense, which means being justified. It is in the aorist passive voice. It's an emphasis upon the fact that we're the recipients of God's grace. We are the recipients of God's grace. We've been justified. We've been justified by faith. It is God's plan for individuals to believe, to have faith, and to trust Christ. And when they do, they have what is known in the Scripture as irene, which is peace. Peace and spiritual prosperity. It also says we have. I like this word, echo. If you're driving out Highway 10, you will discover that there is a street out there, Echo. Echo Lane. I always am amazed when I see that because I'm reminded of this particular Greek verb. Doesn't take much to remind me of Greek verbs. But anyway, when I see that one, I say, that says we have and we hold. That's the word echo. We have and we hold. It's something that you and I have. God has given to us. There's no question about it. Don't ever fear. Don't punch any panic buttons about whether or not you're going to go to heaven. You're going to go to heaven because you've accepted God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven is your eternal home. In a few moments, we're going to be talking about that more in detail as we deal with the second verse in the grace of God. We have peace face to face with God, and then we have the preposition dia through the Lord of us, Jesus Christ. Could I stop again to tell you that many times you find the expression Jesus Christ. Sometimes you find the word Jesus, Yesu, in the Scripture. But here we see all three words, Lord Jesus Christ. How great that is. It's not here just accidentally. It's here on purpose. There's an emphasis here upon the fact that the Lord is the ruler, the sovereign, the master of our lives. There's an emphasis upon Jesus, Yesu, who is the one who was willing to come to the earth and become the God-man, the Theos Anthropos. And then Christos is the Greek word which means the anointed one, the appointed one. And I say this many times because I want you to see that in this verse of Scripture, you have all three words used. You have Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you think that I could talk any more about this verse? Of course. And I have notes that I did not get to. That's okay. Let's go to Romans 5:2. Now, let's look at this verse carefully. Through whom also we've had access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice upon hope of the glory of God. I must tell you that there's more here than I could ever get to in the hour or two that I have now. Did you notice how I said that? I noticed a few of you fainted. We don't need to have any heart attacks or faint. I'm going to let you out in plenty of time for the missionary to get here and for us to eat. Let's look at the verse exegetically first. Through whom also we've had access. I could take each one of these words and spend a lot of time, but what I want to do is to stop with you on we have had access. That is an interesting word in the original language. It's an emphasis upon fellowship. The fact that you and I as believers have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. What I'm able to see is that when you take this word, you see that it has various parts. Do you realize that you can study this in your school, and perhaps you have? When you analyze a word, you will find oftentimes words have three parts. And it's known as the antepenult, penult, and ultima. Is that new to any of you? Okay. I'm not speaking in tongues. I'm just telling you that those are three words that describe the fact that in many words in the original language, there are three parts to that word. Right here we have, if you'll look at it, it has P-R-O-S. If you remember what we studied in the previous service, you remember that we looked at the word pros, P-R-O-S. And that word means face to face. When I look at this word, I see another aspect. I see A-G-O. Now, I need to tell you that in my Greek translation, I put the wrong letter. So I'm correcting myself in your presence. That's a gamma. That's a G. So it's pros and then A-G-O. Ago. Ago is the word which means to go or to bring or to lead. It means that we go toward face to face to God. In other words, that means that we have access to God. The Scripture says, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In other words, what God does for us, He allows us to be able to come to Him in prayer. Come boldly to the throne of grace. If you'll look carefully, you will see that this is saying, through whom also we have had access by faith into this grace. So I'll stop now on the word grace, because that's where we are in this particular session. It is on accessible grace. If you'll notice, it goes on to say, it's grace in which we stand. Now, please let me do this for you for just a few seconds. We stand is the Greek word isteme, which means to stand. And then the word rejoice is also presented here. I have to tell you this because of the power of it. When you look at verbs in the original language, you will discover one right here that says, we stand. That we stand means, since it's a perfect tense verb, it means we stood in the past. That standing was consummated in the past. And the result of that standing continues to this present moment. Now that may not mean all that much to you from the Greek, but let me tell you what it means in the English. It means that when you became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God worked the miracle of salvation, you got it in the past. The result was consummated. And the continuation of that result continues to this very present moment. You know what that says? That says salvation by grace is once and for all. It says the eternal security of the believer. How do I know that? Do I know it because of the way I feel? Do I know it because I'm trying to keep the Ten Commandments? Do I know it because I've joined the church? Do I know it because I'm keeping some church ritual? No. I know it because of what He says. And He says, you stand in grace because you believed. Do y'all see the importance? Excuse me, y'all, you all. Do you see the importance? Shows you I'm a Southerner. Y'all, you all. Do you see that it says we stand? We stand as a result of having something that's taken place in our lives, that's established something that is so secure, it'll be there forever. Your salvation is an eternal salvation. Don't let anyone ever fool you or mislead you in relationship to the eternal security of the believer. It's there over and over again. Then it says, we rejoice. Could I tell you also something very quickly about this verse and this verb? It's a present tense. You rejoice continually. Continuous. That's what the present tense is. The middle voice says, you participate in the action and you're benefited thereby. You and I have been designed by our Heavenly Father to have a life of grace that is continuous, that's rejoicing on a day-by-day basis. And He says, rejoice upon the hope of the glory of God. Now, let me give you some notes to take. Number one, grace is the most important single concept in the Word of God related to salvation. I'm going to let you take these notes because they're important. Grace is the most important single concept in the Word of God. In other words, salvation is by grace through faith, and the Christian way of life functions entirely on grace principles. God, our Heavenly Father, has given us the assurance that it is by grace. The word grace is used to refer to God's giving us out of His love, giving us unrestricted because of the fact that He has taken away condemnation. Former condemnation has been removed. Our penalty has been paid. God's righteousness and justice have been satisfied. And we are in Christ and share the love that the Father has for His Son. If you look at the Old Testament, you will discover that there's an emphasis upon the fact that the blood was brought and placed upon the cherubims. Remember that? The cherubim on one hand, the cherubim on the other hand. That blood sprinkled over that. What does that mean? That means that God's justice and God's righteousness are satisfied. There's no way for God's justice and God's righteousness to be satisfied other than through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to tell you something that you've heard many times, and that is that God is righteous and we're unrighteous. God is holy and we're unholy. God is pure and we're not pure. God is not depraved and we're depraved. We know that. God is holiness and righteousness. There's no way that a righteous God and an unholy man or mankind, men, women, boys, and girls, there's no way for a holy God and unrighteous individuals to ever get together. Had it not been for Jesus Christ, we would have all been in serious trouble. He was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to the cross and die on the cross to make it possible for one hand to reach up to God, so to speak, the other hand to reach down to us and bring us together. How beautiful that is. In other words, that's an emphasis upon the fact that God's righteousness and God's justice satisfy. Number one, grace is the most important single concept in the Word of God. Number two, God provides the foundational structure for our Bible study. Grace provides the foundational structure for our Bible study. That's the reason why when you go to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, "For by grace you're saved through faith." And that salvation is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. If we could be saved by ourselves, we could have something about which to boast. We are not saved by anything that has to do with us. It's all God's doings. Grace provides the foundational structure for our study of God's Word. Number three, knowledge of grace principles gives us as believers knowledge and confidence in God's plan. Knowledge of grace principles gives us as believers knowledge and confidence in God's plan. Could I stop myself for just a few moments and tell you that there are Greek words that describe this. One of those words is gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, and that word means knowledge. Another word is epinosis, which means full knowledge, complete knowledge. What you and I must do as believers is to have knowledge, but we are to go beyond knowing. We are to receive God's Word in such a fashion that God's Word becomes more important to us than anything in life, so that we can see from a divine vantage point. We can utilize His truth, and we can live by His principles on a day-by-day basis. And so most of the decisions that we then make will be made in the light of divine truth. Did you hear it? Most of the decisions that we make are made then in the light of divine truth. We'll never be able to make decisions properly if we do not see as God sees. And we're not going to see as God sees unless we know what God's Word says. And so what I'm saying here, number three, knowledge of grace principles gives us as believers knowledge and confidence in God's plan, His provisions, His blessings. Number four, the biblical concept of grace gives us as believers the ability to rejoice. That's what this verse of Scripture tells us. It says, through whom, Jesus Christ, also we have had access by faith into this grace, and in this grace we stand, and it's in this grace we rejoice. Oh boy. Right base of operation. Proper living. Successful Christian living. This word stand here means that we are heading up to a higher place. I'm always finding something new. Isn't that wonderful? Would you like for me to tell you when I find something new? I found something new. I found in this particular word here, a part of the word in the original A-U-C-H-E-N, which means neck. Now, that may not mean much to you, but let me show you what it means. It says, head up high, neck stretched high. Doesn't mean boastful, doesn't mean braggadocious, doesn't mean egotistical. It means thankful. Hold your head up high and be thankful that God has worked a miracle of salvation in your life. And be thankful that you have the privilege of seeing things from a divine viewpoint, a vertical viewpoint, not horizontal. It means to glory. It means to glory. It means to joy. It means to rejoice. It means to take pride in the fact of what God has done. And then I wrote this down. It means living with God that gives to us confidence. Many people don't have confidence. All you have to do is deal with people, and you'll find that there are many people who do not have joy, peace, and confidence. That's what this says. Rejoice. Number five, grace convinces the believer that human righteousness is completely out of the picture. Grace convinces believers that human righteousness is completely out of the picture. You ought to write that somewhere. Human righteousness. Your righteousness and my righteousness, no matter how much good we may do in life, doesn't add up properly. Number six, through grace, believers become conduits. Conduits. C-O-N-D-U-I-T-S. Of grace. It's a conduit of grace. And that's what you and I have the responsibility of doing. I've watched many of you over the years, and I see how effective your witnessing is. You are conduits of God's grace in sharing the goodness of God. All right, draw a line there, and let's now talk about some things about grace. First of all, I want you to do me a favor. Write down the word C-O-M-M-O-N, common grace. We're going to talk about common grace. In the last few sessions, we've been talking about efficacious grace, and we referred to it as common grace, but now I'm going to emphasize a little bit something different. Common grace is grace which is common to all mankind, saved or unsaved, such as the rain that falls on the just and the unjust. That's common grace. I jotted myself a little note about this. Common grace means that every human being is born under the complete watchfulness of God. God provides each person with an awareness, whether they are really aware of responding properly or not. In grace, God has provided many blessings common to all mankind, whether they're Christians or not Christians. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. The Bible history shows us that material prosperity is often given to unbelievers as a demonstration of His grace to all people in Matthew 5:43-48. God has provided divine institutions for the protection and preservation of the human race. Therefore, everyone profits from this. The Lord intends that people live under conditions of freedom and morality. That's provided for the believers and unbelievers. There's the institution of volition. Volition simply means that you have a choice to make on a day-by-day basis. The institution of volition makes it possible, among other things, for everyone to have a free will in various matters. The institution of marriage, for instance, family life, is evidence of God's blessings in relationship to His love for us. I'm sure that you know that marriage is not just a Christian institution. Marriage is an institution of God that's provided for the saved and the unsaved. God, the Holy Spirit, makes the gospel clear to the unbeliever so that he can accept Christ. These are all evidences of common grace. I jotted myself another little note, and that is saving grace. What about saving grace? Saving grace is an emphasis upon the fact that God works the miracle of salvation to those who believe. You can get an appreciation for the extent of what God does. When you go to the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul, the instrument of God in writing the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1. Let me give you this very quickly. Ephesians 1:2, grace to you and peace. Ephesians 1:3, all spiritual blessings in Christ. Ephesians 1:4, chosen in Him. Ephesians 1:4 again, without blame before Him. Ephesians 1:5, we are adopted by Christ. Ephesians 1:6, we're accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians 1:7, we're redeemed. Ephesians 1:8, God gives wisdom and prudence. And Ephesians 1:9, God's will is made known there. All I'm saying to you, if you'll write down Ephesians 1 and then put 1, 2 through 9, All of those verses have to do with God's grace. When you go to the book of Romans, chapter 3, 24, it tells us that justification is offered on the grace principles through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Grace is the only way that God could save mankind and still be consistent with His own perfect character. Grace basis for salvation is seen in Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So there's common grace, there's saving grace. Well, I should have written this down here. Saving grace. Okay, let's put down another one. Living grace. Living grace. What does living grace mean? Every Christian has experienced grace at least once in his lifetime. 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3 says, we've tasted grace. Once we've tasted grace, we as believers can go on to have all the grace that He has designed for us. Very little knowledge is required to accept Christ as Savior, but extensive knowledge is required in the believer's life as an advancing believer. God's grace is always available for us. In fact, the Lord wants to pour out His grace on us. It's found in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 18 and 19. He says He waits to pour His grace out upon us. Grace is sufficient for every problem. Grace is greater than our sin. Grace is greater than our suffering. Grace is greater than Satan's temptations. Let me go back and give you those again and give you a verse of Scripture. Grace is greater than our sin, Romans 5:20. Grace is greater than our suffering, 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. Grace is greater than Satan's temptations, James 4:6-7. And may I also put down D-Y-I-N-G. Now, I know you folks don't want me to talk about dying, but I'm sure you know that we're going to die. Some of you are going to die in a few years. Isn't that wonderful for me to announce that to you? I think about it. I promise you, as I think about my own life in relationship to the number of years I've been on this earth, and I'm aware of the fact that the longer I live, the closer I am to that time when I will be absent from the body and at home with the Lord. I'm aware of that. I think I should be reminded of every day. We have made whatever plans we need to do so that our kids won't have to be all that frustrated and worried. Please don't frustrate your kids and worry them after you're gone. So many people have fusses and fights and children disagreeing with each other all over a chair or a refrigerator or some item in the home or the home itself. How foolish that is. Don't do that to your children. Prepare yourself properly. And it's not for me to be telling you what to do at that point other than to just tell you to do something. Get yourself ready. You don't know when the Lord may take you out. The Lord may take you and your wife or you and your husband out at the same time. It could happen. It does happen. And if it should happen in that way, don't leave your children stranded, not knowing what they're to do. Have things ready. Make plans for your funeral. If you want someone to preach your funeral, do it. Some of you want me to preach your funeral. That'll be fine if I'm around. If I'm not around, it doesn't matter. Someone else will do it. All I'm trying to do is to tell you that there's dying grace. Dying grace. God wants to take you home beautifully and magnificently. I've been studying and giving attention lately to some of the thoughts in relationship to dying miserably, the sin unto death. Many people die miserably. How tragic that is. But don't die that way. Live your life captivated with Jesus Christ, saturated with the Word of God, so that you can be the recipient of dying grace. Grace is God's acceptance. Grace is confidence in God's plan. Grace in daily provision. Grace in suffering. Grace in God's patience with us. Grace in releasing His power to us. Grace in victory over sin on a daily basis. Grace in spiritual advance. Grace that gives us stability. I have a long list that I could give you with all these scriptures in relationship to God's grace. Grace in worship. Grace in witnessing. Grace in understanding divine good. And then there's one more that I want to give you. Right quick, before I tear up things here. Surpassing. S-U-R-P-A-S-S-I-N-G. Surpassing grace. Surpassing grace includes all that God is free to do for us in eternity. This grace is based primarily on our relationship to Jesus Christ, His relationship to us. I don't know whether you've thought about this or not. And I don't understand it all. You know, sometimes years ago I heard them sing a little song, a little shack over in Glory Land. I don't believe that. I don't believe there are any shacks over in Glory Land. I do believe that there are some magnificent things that God has for us in eternity. I think in terms of my dad and my mother and my father-in-law and my mother-in-law and uncles and aunts and various loved ones who've preceded us in death as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm assured of the fact that the Scripture teaches that at this very moment they have become the recipient of an interim body. The Bible teaches that. They do not have at this moment the body that they're going to have, which is the resurrection body. But they have an interim body. They're not in limbo. They are not without knowledge. They are where God wants them to be at this point, waiting that point of time when the rapture will take place, the resurrection of the body of Christ, at which time we will be the recipient of the glorified spiritual resurrection body. Do you realize that you're going to get a new body? Some of you don't care because you're living in a body that's not giving you a lot of trouble. But some of us at times have bodies that give us a little difficulty. It's amazing to me what's happening to my own body. In the night, let me tell you this, I'm going to give you a personal illustration. In the night, I wake up and this finger won't go out like it's supposed to. It just clicks right there. And so, I knew you folks would want to hear this because it's such a magnificent illustration. And so I reached down there. This is because I'm a little older than you. Don't be sitting there so smug. I reached down and I put it up. It hurts just a little bit, but then it's up where it's supposed to be. You know why I'm telling you that? I'm living in a dying, decaying, deteriorating body. And then you know what I do while I'm still awake now? I start doing it like that. And it keeps on doing okay. It's okay. Unless I go to sleep and sleep a few more hours and it comes back like that, here I've got to do it again. And it hurts. It only hurts that one time. Just poof, it hurts for just a little bit and then I can do it. Now, you folks, I know what you did. You just rejoiced over the fact that I hurt in the night, because I'm living in a dying, deteriorating, decaying body. But you know what? This body is not going to be the body that I'm going to be in eternity. I'm going to have a new, glorified, spiritual, resurrection body. Isn't that fantastic? You know why? Because of accessible grace. It's God's grace that's made all this possible. So, where do I go from here? I'll go back to my verse if I can find it. Romans 5:2. Because it's time for us to look at this verse one more time. This is such a fantastic verse of Scripture. In order that as death. That's not the right verse. Romans 5, 1. Romans 5, 2. Where is it? Now, you folks just bear with me because I know. It's right here in front of me. Romans 5, 2. What does it say? Through whom also we have had access by faith into this grace, accessible grace, in which we stand. Now, if you leave this service without this, you've missed it. This is a perfect tense verb. It happened in the past. The standing has been completed, and the result of that standing remains at this very moment. We stand. And there it is. Histemi. H-I-S-T-E-M-I. And not only do we stand there, we rejoice. I would like for you to leave this service today rejoicing in the fact that you know without a doubt, because of having access to God's grace and what God has done for you, you're going to be with Him forever and ever, ever and ever. And we glory in His magnificent and marvelous blessings. Stay around. We're going to have our closing prayer here with the blessing for the food. But don't rush the ladies in the kitchen. Stay out, fellowship. And by the midday, we will let you know when to come in to eat food. The missionary will be here. We'll come back in the auditorium. And he'll be here to show us the movie and tell us about the work in Zambia, Africa. May we bow for a moment of prayer. In this prayer, we're going to include our thanksgiving for the food. And Ray, would you stand and lead us in this prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessing of this day that you've given to us, for the privilege and the opportunity that we have to be here. This house of fellowship that we assemble to study your word, learn more about you, with the realization that as we learn more about you and grow in knowledge and in grace. Thank you for the message that you have sent us through your messenger and for the messengers, and pray that you continue to use him to be a blessing to our lives for anything which has to come. Thank you for the moral family who are the active missionaries that cousin Thomas for to be here with us this morning to share the story of what they've been doing for you in this past year. And we look forward with great anticipation to his presentation. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship that we're about to have as we partake of the new meal with each other. And Lord, we ask you blessings and we give thanks for each of the households and families that brought the food so that we could all share and enjoy this time of fellowship and refreshment. And in Christ Jesus' name, we pray on the Lord for it all.
Amen.